Param and afterwards. Translation. My dear King Prachini Barishat, the sons of Malayadwaja gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons, and all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan and even afterwards. You can say after me, my dear King Prachini Barishat, the sons of Malayadwaja gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons. And all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan and even afterward. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. A manvantara, the lifespan of one Manu, is given as 71 multiplied by 4,320,000 years. After one such Manu passes on, another Manu begins his lifespan. In this way, the life cycle of the universe is going on. As one Manu follows another, the cult of Krishna consciousness is being imparted, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Isvakave Bravit. The Blessed Lord said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Vivasvan, the sun god, imparted Bhagavad Gita to one Manu, and this Manu imparted it to his son, who imparted it to yet another Manu. In this way, the propagation of Krishna consciousness is never stopped. No one should think that this Krishna consciousness movement is a new movement. As confirmed by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a very, very old movement, for it has been passed down from one Manu to another. Among Vaishnavas, there may be some difference of opinion due to everyone's personal identity, but despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. We can see that under the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj began preaching the Krishna consciousness movement in an organized way within the past 100 years. The disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj are all God-brothers, and although there are some differences of opinion, and although we are not acting conjointly, every one of us is spreading this Krishna consciousness movement according to his own capacity and producing many disciples to spread it all over the world. As far as we are concerned, we have already started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and many thousands of Europeans and Americans have joined this movement. Indeed, it is spreading like wildfire. The cult of Krishna consciousness, based on the 9 principles of devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Parasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam, will never be stopped. It will go on without distinction of caste, creed, color, or country. No one can check it. The word Bhukshate is very important in this verse. Just as a king gives protection to his citizens, these devotees, following the principles of devotional service, will give protection to all the people of the world. The people of this world, are very much harassed by so-called religious principled swamis, yogis, karmis, and jnanis. But none of these can show the right way to become elevated to the spiritual platform. There are primarily 4 parties spreading devotional service all over the universe. These are the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and the Nimbarka Sampradaya. The Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya in particular comes from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these devotees are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement very widely, and giving protection to innocent people who are being so much embarrassed by pseudo-avatars, swamis, yogis, and others. So the text again, my dear king, Prachinibarishati, sons of Malayadwaja, gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons, and all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one mani's lifespan and even afterwards. So here in this text, the manus who are protecting the universes one after another, this is the emblem of propagation and spreading Krishna consciousness. Actually, this is the responsibility of the manus anyway. So this is built into the management of the universe, that Krishna consciousness will go on. After all, that's Krishna's purpose in making this universe, sending so many living entities, creating 8,400 species of life, setting up the planetary systems, coming down as super soul, arranging 333 million demigods, all this stuff is there so that when the living entities arrive at the human form of life, there is the opportunity for successful matriculation out of this place back to the spiritual world where we actually belong. That's the whole purpose of the creation. So built into that, there has to be the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So this is the establishment. It's established by Krishna. And so some of those responsible parties, as Krishna discusses in the beginning of the fourth chapter of the Manus, he instructed this to Vishvan, who gave it to Manu, and the Manu to Ikshvaku, who was the king on this earth. But on and on, and then the next Manu, the next Manu, the next Manu. That's their business, to propagate Krishna consciousness. So here, so many sons are there, and these are Manus. So that's their business, protect the universe. So Prabhupada says here, the propagation of Krishna consciousness is never stopped. You shouldn't think, he says, this is a new movement. They call us, when they're being polite, new religious movement. Scholars, new religious movement. And we say, oh no, no, we're very old. We've been in India for thousands of years. But older than that, actually. So here the history is traced back so far. And so Krishna says to Arjuna, look, I taught this a long time ago. Very, very long time ago. To Vivasvan. Now, the line coming down to the earthly king, the Rajarshis, that was scattered. So now I'm telling it to you again. So this is Krishna's other way of renewing, that he keeps returning. As avatar, he has to do that because, you know, this is the effect of time in the material world, that anything is there is deteriorated. This is called, scientific language, the effect is called entropy. The tendency of things to go from an ordered state to a disordered state. So you'll notice that if you just take anything, a house, a car, and abandon it, just don't touch it, it will go from an ordered state to a disordered state. And we notice that a lot of, most of our time, much of our time is anti-entropic activities, fighting the tendency toward disorder. I had a philosophy course once, and it was all about speculation on the nature of time. What is time? So the definition that one guy came up with, we read a whole book, that time is the direction of entropy. So this is also time. Time I am, the destroyer of the worlds. That is the nature of time. That things go from an ordered state to a disordered state. So there has to be, in order there to be the continuation of order, there has to be the anti-entropic activities. So in spiritual life too, Krishna comes and he preaches Krishna consciousness one way or another, and for a while it's followed, but then due to the effects of time, the depredation of the years, people forget, things fall apart, it gets scattered. So Krishna comes again and again and again. This is his mission. And again, reinstate, reestablish, this is Dharma. So similarly, this has happened in our recent history with the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is establishing as Yuga Avatar, this is Dharma for the age of Kali. The Sankirtan movement. And so since his time, it has been propagated. So we see that this same Dharma that was taught also by Manu on this planet is being spread by the four parties that are mentioned here, the four Vaishnava communities coming from Madhva, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, and Bharaka, these four sampradayas. These, of course, an offshoot of the Madhva Sampradaya, the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Prabhupada says here, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. Now, there's differences among these communities, he says, due to personal identity, personal differences. But nevertheless, Krishna consciousness is being preached. So this is the evidence here, just as so many sons are there of Malayadwaja, they're going on and on and on. So similarly, the Krishna consciousness movement is destined, it's ordained, it's scriptural, that this Krishna consciousness movement will go on and on. The cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is destined to, as Prabhupada says, spread like wildfire. So our business, if we want to become pure devotees, our business is to engage ourselves in furthering the mission of the Lord. What that mission is differs from time to time. But it is our faith to be born in the era of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, it is under the auspices of his instructions that we engage in devotional service. What do you want me to do? This is the devotee, Kimkara. That's a Sanskrit name for servant. It's Kimkara. Kimkara means one who says what. He makes the sound Kimkara. What? What shall I do, Kimkara? Chaitanya says, I am your servant. Kimkara uses that word. This is serving Krishna, we say. What do you want me to do? As was being explained yesterday by Satsarupa Maharaj, this is the devotee. A karmi or a karmi yoga will say, I want to do this, and let me offer you also some of the fruits so I can go on doing what I want. But the actual devotional attitude is, a higher attitude is, what do you want me to do? That's servant. So when we say to Krishna, what do you want me to do? Because we're in the Chaitanya era, they say, propagate, engage in and propagate this Krishna consciousness movement. So that's our particular dharma. Our particular duty is to further the mission of the Yuga Avatar. So that will be the best thing for us to fulfill this mission. And of course, one way or another, it's going to go on. That is ordained already. But the golden age of Krishna consciousness within this Kali Yuga is there. Our choice as individuals is how much we want to participate in this. So how is it being carried on? It's being carried on through the disciplic succession. The potency to spread Krishna consciousness is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and that is also being passed down. With the order comes the power to execute the order. And in a number of occasions, Prabhupada has said that you cannot spread Krishna consciousness, actually he's quoting from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Balabhadra talking about Chaitanya, you cannot spread Krishna consciousness unless you are empowered by the Lord. And of course, this is our question. How do we go on now, here in these circumstances that we find ourselves in? How do we continue to spread the Krishna consciousness movement? We face various dilemmas and perplexities. It's a hard thing to figure out sometimes. You can imagine that if you took a bunch of academic scholars of religion and gave them a problem. Okay, here you've got this 16th century Bengali devotional cult. Now your job is to transport this cult into America in 1960. What do you do? What do you keep the same and what do you change? How do you do it? Oh, I can see them getting busy doing their research, first writing their grant proposals, of course, getting access to the literature, and then they'll come up with a big, thick document, you know, about really big. But that's not the way it works. It's spread by empowerment. This is a word that we use a lot, empowerment. And it's funny to see it showing up now in the secular discourse, especially among the feminists who are looking to be empowered. Or empowerment. Who empowers somebody? How do people get empowered? So our understanding is, given by Krishna, how you get empowered. Tesham sakatayuktanam bhajatam tukhidhukam. You do that, then the dami buddhidhukam. That's empowerment. Empowerment means we can successfully spread Krishna consciousness, become Krishna conscious ourselves, and spread Krishna consciousness to others if we are enlightened by Krishna. That empowerment has to come from Krishna, who is situated in the heart as a super soul. Now, there's somebody who can figure out how to do it, because he's smart. He's super soul. He not only knows everything, he's running everything. So this is where empowerment comes. So empowerment comes by becoming surrendered soul to Krishna. Describe these surrendered souls in the Bhagavad Gita. He describes what they do. He describes that they are always enlightening one another and glorifying me. They take pleasure and bliss in conversing about me, enlightening one another, preaching about me. This is these people. So these empowered people, the ones to whom he gives Buddhi Yoga, the intelligence, he's already described. Really, it's an open book. There are no secrets. Unless, of course, we don't want to see what we have to do. But if we want to become successful, Krishna's already described very quickly, very, very openly, in very simple language, what we have to do. These are very simple, easy, no puzzlement. So the only thing is then we have to execute this order. He's given us this ability so that we can become actually empowered. It requires empowerment. It requires miracles. People say sometimes, well, only a miracle can save us. I agree. But we know how to make miracles. It's not that we just sit around helplessly wringing our hands and hoping, you know, for
you know, some special effects, Hollywood special effects to come rolling off of the eastern horizon or something. No. We know how to invoke the aid of Krishna. And that's Krishna's already told us. So we have to execute that with all dispatch and sincerity, and then that will be the end of all perplexity. The intelligence will come. Whether it's my predicament, whether I'm worried about my predicament, or I'm worried about the predicament of a lot of people. At any rate, we're like Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There are puzzles. If I do this, this will go wrong. But if I do that, that will go wrong. We sit and discuss these things once, you know. Well, if we institute Varnashram Dharma, won't that lower the standard? What if we preach the highest standard? Won't that shove people away? You know, what do I do? You know, we get ourselves involved in these conundrums, just like Arjuna. But we have to go to Krishna for the intelligence, how to solve these things. What is it that you want? What is your plan? We know that here Prabhupada is telling us that this Krishna consciousness movement cannot be stopped. But who facilitates it? How does it go on? It goes on by people who have become transparent. We use this word for the spiritual master. He's transparent by a medium. That means offers no resistance to the words of Krishna. There's resistance, there's impedance when I have some other idea than Krishna's idea. When I'm also making some arrangement for some sense gratification. And therefore there's opacity, opaqueness. I don't know which is the right word. Again, what Krishna wants does not come through me because it's being blocked by my opacity, which is interiorly presented to me as my desires for something other than the service of Krishna, sense gratification. So the more I dedicate myself to Krishna's service, the more I disabuse myself of certain misconceptions, such as the misconception that this life belongs to me, that my time is my own, that this is my body to do with what I wish, that this is my private life. I'm a slave. I'm a kimkara. My only business is to say, what do you want? And then to do it. As soon as I become this way, totally conformable to the desire of Krishna, and of course that slavery is freedom. That's immediately one enters into the atmosphere of freedom. This is not understood, but it's a fact. So as soon as I become like that, then that way one becomes transparent. This exercise is carried on, of course, in relationship to one's spiritual master. It's his order in particular. He's the one that represents Krishna for us. So it's to his order, especially, we turn, that we become transparent, we become servant in this way. And then the potency that is there, that came when Chaitanya appeared, flows. It continues to flow. It will flow anyway. Just like water. If you pour water down on the top of the hill, it's going to go to the bottom of the hill. How it gets there, that depends. Because water follows the path of least resistance. So it flows downhill, it runs across a boulder or something in the way, it goes this way. You see water, how it like searches out the lowest level. And it finds some block or something, some rock in the way, it turns to one side, turns, and finally it gets there, it goes. In the same way, the potency for this Krishna consciousness movement to spread all over the world is there. It's given by Chaitanya. It's going to do it. Whether it comes through us or doesn't come through us, that depends on our transparency, our willingness to give up everything, all other dharmas, and surrender to Krishna. As Krishna instructs in the Bhagavad Gita, to that degree of willingness. So Prabhupada says here, he talks about, because this is a nice mood, that there are some differences of opinion, We're not acting conjointly, but each of us is spreading Krishna consciousness according to its capacity and realization. That's true, but you can see, actually, that Prabhupada has had spread this Krishna consciousness movement so far all over the world because of that fact that he told us. Actually, everything that Prabhupada tells us, he tells us how to become successful in Krishna consciousness. He tells us how to become empowered. He says the secret of success in Krishna consciousness is to make the order of the spiritual master your life and soul. There it is. He's told it. It's there. To make it your very life. And this is his realized knowledge, so we understand that he has done this. And the result of that is, in just 12 years, the whole Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, like wildfire, he said. Now, for it to continue, there has to be some people, as many as possible, who do the same thing. Who act in the same way as Srila Prabhupada, who take this secret and say, yes, this is the secret of success, I will do it. And when we see that we have impediments in our minds and hearts toward this full surrender to Krishna, because of course we do have impediments. We're coming out of the arena of being conditioned souls. We've got nothing but impediments. These impediments in Sanskrit are known as anarthas. Things that you don't want. So first of all, they have to be labeled. I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this. I'm going to clean up this junk shop in my heart and get rid of all this garbage. I mean, I don't want it, I don't want it. And then engage in the path of sadhana bhakti for the removal of these anarthas. Then we become clean and pure and fully transparent. That way we can protect everyone. Bokshyate, he says, is an important word in this verse. Just as a king gives protection to his citizens, these devotees, following the principles of devotional service, will give protection to all the people of the world. And certainly, people of the world need protection. So they're going for protection. They're going for protection. And to whom do they go for protection? Well, I think the latest one is Shirley MacLaine. We judge from the cover of Time magazine. There she is there looking impish as usual, holding forward a fistful of crystals. It says right next to her, Om. I mean, peeking over the top edge, you know, like they do, there's a little triangle in the upper right-hand corner is Mikhail Gorbachev looking at that a little ominously. Did you see there's that cover of Time? There's 11 minutes now. That Gorbachev, like Kilroy, you know, peering down. The people are going for protection. And what happens is, of course, they don't get protection. There's no one qualified to protect them. Because they only protect, what do they want protection from? They want protection from the material energy and what it does. And the only protection is coming from Krishna. So we have to, the people of this world are so much harassed by so-called religious principles, swamis, yogis, karmis, gyanis. And aren't they? And it's just getting worse and worse. I mean, those of us that came of age in the 60s, we thought, you know, we thought we'd seen, you know, with this Guru Maharaji, we thought, wow, you know. But then, you know, later there's Raji. it'll get a lot worse before it gets better. But none of these can show the right way to become elevated to the spiritual platform. So that is protection. So it is the duty of devotees to give protection and to give shelter to all living entities. People are suffering. Now, the suffering of people in this world is inconceivable. You could hear the universal cry of pain that comes out of this planet for just even 1 minute you just start raising hands. People are suffering so much. And everyone they turn to just increases their suffering. So what to be done? We have to spread this Krishna consciousness. That's our duty. I gave the example before. We're like physicians who have the antidote to a poison, and everybody's been poisoned. They're thrashing around in their death throes. So we have the antidote to this poison. What are we going to do? Just, you know, inoculate ourselves and sit there and watch everybody else die? No, it was our obligation to spread it to everyone else. Otherwise, what's going to happen? And the suffering, and the thing is, it's not that, you know, person died, their suffering is over. You know, at least it's over. Now they're peaceful. It's not like that at all. It goes on and on and on. And people are doing things now that affect their future for hundreds of lives, thousands of lives. So that's the duty of a devotee, to become the protectors of people, actually, and spread this gift of Krishna consciousness that Lord Chaitanya gave us. It's practicable. Prabhupada uses the word practical. It means practical. When Prabhupada says practical, it means you can do it. It can be done. It is practical. It is practicable. And you can put it into effect. And we know how to do that. All of us, we're not so well educated in Vedic terms or in traditional spiritual culture of India, but we know how to engage people in Krishna consciousness. And we have to want to engage them in Krishna consciousness. And we should be thinking day and night how to do this. In this way, everything will become... not only will we save our own lives, we will save the lives of so many other people. That's success. That's the highest success possible. And it's available to us. So we have to become transparent in this way, accept the order of the spiritual master on our head, and serve it with devotion. And then there are no more problems. That's the solution to every single problem that can come up. The cult of Krishna consciousness based on the nine principles of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Arjanam, Vandanam, Dasham, Sakyam, Adnam, Vedanam, will never be stopped. It will go on without distinction of caste, creed, color, or country. No one can check it. Stop there. Question? All right. a little tougher. This is my it's a question of who do you trust, you know? And the first thing is that I want to be confident. I have to make decisions to come up in Krishna consciousness. I can do either A, B, C, or D. Is this what Krishna wants? And just based on the evidence, you know, I have to make a decision. And I think, well, I could have gone the other way, but I finally decided this way. I'll just say, just dealing with myself alone for the time being, how do I trust that I've made the right decision? And it seems to me the only thing I can do if I have a decision to make, either about my own life or even about things that affects other people, is that I have to be very deeply absorbed in sadhana. I don't even trust myself unless I'm strictly following Krishna conscious process. Then I have the trust that Krishna is going to guide this decision making process. I may not be aware all the time of his guidance. It doesn't mean that because I'm strictly absorbed in sadhana that I might not make mistakes, but I'm convinced that if I'm doing this, that Krishna is going to protect me and others from the consequences of my mistakes. But then, because I'm also wondering how maybe I'm not so advanced, I can still make mistakes, you know, there are weaknesses also in my sadhana, then the better thing for me to do is to consult also with some others. But who do I consult with? Because there's a you know, move this, yes, we should, we don't want autocratic rulers. There should be consultation, but consultation among who? This was a charge that was made to me, you know, that in fact it was about you, as a matter of fact, that when you wrote this book, Guru Reform, it was democracy. You were introducing democracy, demon crazy. So, I was put in the nice position of having to defend you on this, and my reply was, but it's not democracy, it's sadhu sangha. That these people with whom you're consulting are not, you know, plebeians, they're not people off the streets. They're good devotees, and one has to use discrimination with whom I'm consulting. So that would be who I would trust, and this seemed to be Prabhupada's principle that we consult, and we the decision making process with other people who have also dedicated themselves to undergoing the purifying process of sadhana bhakti. Now this is my conclusion on that one, is as far as I've got now. There's some problems with this. There's some people who are materially very capable. People, but who maybe aren't quite so dedicated to the process of sadhana bhakti. They don't like to feel left out. So it creates a certain amount of social tension in that way. But so far as I don't want to create social tension, but I think we have to recognize that who are going to be our guides, our decision-making process, is not democracy. Is people who are following the instructions of Krishna, that Krishna will give them the intelligence. That's our conviction with, say, on the level of the GBC. That's what the GBC has to do. The GBC has to receive the order of Krishna to be a medium where Krishna's desire can be revealed. But we all are very much aware now, in order for that to happen, for it to be that arena where Krishna's real will be revealed, is that everyone is very, very pure. And so we're stressing so much now on the point of purity. But not just the GBC, everywhere. Everywhere. Decision making on any level of ISKCON. And that's the best that I can do. Gradually people may become more and more pure, and it will be seen. These people are very reliable people for knowing what Krishna wants. Other people will recognize this. That has to be, that can't be ordained politically, but that will also come out. But if Krishna is giving, if people are strictly following, and people are absorbed in this question, how do we spread the Hare Krishna movement, then I've seen already that it will come to be known what it is that Krishna wants us to do. Okay. Yeah, as you see, there's some room for tolerance in here. I mean, I just read the part of a Chaitanya Charitamrita where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deals with the Tattvavadis in South India. Here, Prabhupada, you know, welcomes everybody into pushing on this Krishna conscious movement. The other side is there's some discrimination, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because they said, what is the method of what is the best method of spiritual advancement? They said, Varnashram Dharma. And what is the highest goal? They said liberation. He said you're contaminated by karma and jnana. So there are levels, but still. But he said, yet it's to your credit you accept the form of Krishna. So he criticized on one hand that you're on a certain level. On the other hand, it's to your credit you accept the form of Krishna. So that's also going to happen, as people may be on different levels and. But there's a certain thing that at least we agree on. Also, other questions or comments? Yes. Well, it's a little complicated question in some ways because, you know, I don't think that I'd rather deal with it. You tell me the innovation and I'll tell you how to judge it. You know, but just to answer in the abstract, you know, about how do we discriminate whether an innovation, you know, on what principles do innovations acceptable or not, on what principles? Well, there are some principles. First of all, our movement is immensely conservative. And people who are eager to innovate are, for its, you know, there's a love for innovation for its own sake. This was Prabhupada said, we should be warned from Prabhupada about this.
He said that, you know, the tendency of Americans is this. You know, you just like to change things just to say you changed it. So that's the tendency anyway, like that. And my own conviction, for what it's worth, on this this score, I mean, there just has to be judgment. It just has to be judgment based on the quality of the person that's doing it, and mostly based on the shastra. Because I don't see that Prabhupada in the main made that many innovations. I don't see that he did. He didn't make any innovations. Mostly what he did was just do what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said to do, which is distribute books. And his trick was to find the ways and means of doing that in the United States. And then once in a while, problems would come up that he had to deal with that weren't like, say, instituting a brahmacharya.